Welcome, welcome, welcome to our third service today. And this is all kind of new for us. This is the third week of a third service and opening up a new window. It is making more room on the early services, and God continues to bless today. So I open up tonight with a question about what's on the TV. How many of you grew up singing the song Beulah Land? A whole lot of you grew up in that kind of a world like I did. The original Beulah Land song was written 148 years ago, 1876. It was authored by a guy named Edgar Page Seitz. We sang it in church when I was growing up, and the words are here. In fact, why don't y'all jump in here, okay? I could definitely use some help. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. You remember that song? You weren't here in 1876 when that was started, but you grew up with that song. Now, here's my point. That song was 148 years ago, and the author of that song and those people who sang that song had exactly the same hope that I do today. The hope hasn't changed. Beulah Land. Now, here's the point. When I grew up singing that song in a little country church out in the county, if you'd asked me, what is Beulah Land, I couldn't have told you. I couldn't tell you what Beulah meant. But I assure you, by the time you leave here tonight, you'll know the answer to that. There is a more recent version of Beulah Land. It's called Sweet Beulah Land. It was written by Squire Parsons back in 1973, which is 51 years ago. And yeah, I was in that picture. And I was a senior in high school in 1973. And let me read some of the words to that new version to you. We're not singing this one, we're just reading it. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. And here's the chorus, Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Here's the next verse. I'm looking now just across the river to where my faith shall end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, and then I will take my heavenly flight. Now that one was written 51 years ago, and I'm in that scene, and many of you are in that scene, and that author, Squire Parsons, had the same hope that we do today. My point is this, Beulah Land and this hope of a place where we can encounter God in a totally new way, kind of a picturesque world like you see in this picture, the hope hasn't changed. The world has changed, but the hope hasn't. Beulah Land is also referred to in one of my all-time favorite books called Pilgrim's Progress. And by the way, I don't know why I find this so interesting, but I do. Pilgrim's Progress is the second largest selling book in human history. Now, how many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? Don't tell me it's just me. In fact, I've read it several times. I love the book. I just love how it paints a picture of our journey in the Christian life. But about the book, it's a Christian allegory. It was written, listen, 346 years ago by a guy named John Bunyan while he was in jail for being a Christian. Beulah Land in that book is a place of peace near the end of the Christian life on the border of the celestial city. the river of death separates Beulah from New Jerusalem in the book, The City on the Hill. So I want to do something to set the stage today. I want to read just a paragraph out of that book, Pilgrim's Progress. Again, the second largest selling book in human history, only behind the Bible. Only the Bible has sold more books. So there must be a lot of people interested in what Pilgrim's Progress, and we're the pilgrims in the story making our progress toward Beulah Land. Here's what the book says. Now, I saw in my dream that by this time the pilgrims had gotten over the enchanted ground and were entering into the country of Beulah, whose air was very sweet and pleasant, the way lying directly through it. They solaced themselves there for a season. Yes, here they heard continually the singing of birds and saw every day the flowers appear on the earth. And they heard the voice of the turtle dove in the land. In this country, and we're referring to Beulah Land, the sun shineth night and day. Wherefore, this is beyond the valley of the shadow of death, and also out of the reach of giant despair. And from this place, they could not even see Doubting Castle. Here in Beulah Land, they were within sight of the city they were going to. Now, the word Beulah comes from the King James Version of the Bible, which I grew up with. Maybe many of you did too. It is also used in the New International Version translation of the Bible. But understand something. Here's what's kind of interesting. The word Beulah, Beulah Land, is only found in the Bible in one place, in one verse, in one location. It is found in Isaiah 62. And if I ask you tonight, what does the word Beulah mean? I doubt very many of you could answer the question. Maybe you'd surprise me. The word Beulah means married. M-A-R-R-I-E-D, married. In fact, the word Beulah is a Hebrew word from the Old Testament, but translated, it is to be married. So I'm going to read it tonight to open up in the King James Version that finds the word Beulah. It's in Isaiah 62, verse 4. Thou, Jerusalem, and I'll insert Jerusalem because that's what he's referring to. Thou, Jerusalem, shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. Now, you understand what he's doing? Isaiah is prophesying of a future time when Jerusalem will not be called any more forsaken city. They will not be called any more the desolate place or the desolate city. But thou shalt be called Hisphabah. And if you want to know what Hisphabah is, it is a symbolic word for Zion. But if you translate it directly to English, it says, my delight is in her. So what Isaiah is prophesying is a future day when Israel, when Jerusalem will not be forsaken, it'll not be desolate, it will be the delight of God. Now here's when it gets interesting. It'll be called, thou shalt be called Hisphabah, and thy land around Jerusalem, Beulah Land. That's the word, that's where it comes up. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Beulah Land is future Jerusalem. And in the future day, Jerusalem will be married to God. Beulah Land, my delight is in her, future Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Jerusalem's people will no longer be forsaken. They will no longer be desolate. This is Jesus's. So if that's the Old Testament prophecy about a future Beulah Land, we know today is Jerusalem. What does Jesus say when he comes? He comes and he gives this prophetic announcement. And the announcement is that you will be forsaken. You will be desolate. And you will be abandoned. And he says it inside Jerusalem. So Jesus is announcing a time that will come before the end of days. Beulah land will be manifest in Jerusalem. So here's the story. In Luke 13:34, this is right before Jesus dies on the cross. And he says this to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. So get the point here. This is at the end of his three-year ministry, and he said, how I wanted to take you, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, and gather you under my wings so that you might find safety in me, but you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't accept me. So what's the result? Next verse. And now your house is abandoned. Jerusalem will be abandoned. The people there will be abandoned. Jesus is announcing something that's coming, and you will never see me again until you say, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, that's a prophetic statement in itself. Did you notice Jesus says, because you would not come under the shelter of my wings, you would refuse to believe that I am who I say I am. Your house is abandoned. Something terrible is coming. You're going to be forsaken and abandoned. And you will never see me again until. You know, he didn't say you'll never see me again. He said you'll never see me again until, which means you will see me again when you, on that future day, say this, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That would be future Jerusalem, future Beulah land. And in Hebrew, it's Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is prophetically announcing also, like Isaiah, what it's going to be like in the future Beulah land. But before the future Beulah land comes, you, Jerusalem, will be forsaken. Jesus is referring to the fall of Jerusalem some 40 years after his death, burial, and resurrection in 70 AD, and the scattering of the Jewish people all around the world. And if you want to study human history, understand this. In 70 AD, 40 years after Jesus says, you will never see me again until. Jerusalem, Israel, the people, they were forsaken, they were desolate, and they were abandoned. The Jewish people call it the diaspora. And the diaspora is a time in which the people which had all come to live in this region, the Jewish people, were scattered across the earth. And listen, for 2,000 years, they were scattered. 2,000 years, fulfilling his statement. Now, because you would not let me put you under the shelter of my wings, you will be abandoned. 40 years later, they're scattered across the earth. The temple is burned to the ground, and Jerusalem goes under Roman control, and then to many Gentile kingdoms from that day forward for 2,000 years. Isaiah's prophecy of Beulah land is future Jerusalem under the reign of Jesus Christ. So let's make something clear. When I say Beulah land in Isaiah 62, what he's announcing and what Jesus is prophesying, you will not see me again until. He's referring to this future Jerusalem under the reign of Jesus Christ. We like to call it the millennial kingdom of Christ. And when I say millennial, that's 1,000. That's what millennial means, 1,000. 1,000 years of the reign of Christ from where? Jerusalem. Now, I know that's a lot of background to get into what I'm really wanting to talk about today. Future Jerusalem and our Beulah land experience with God. We're going to today search the wonder of Beulah Land through the Bible. When the city of Jerusalem will no longer be forsaken, it'll no longer be desolate, and it'll no longer be abandoned, and it will no longer be attacked by missiles, and it will no longer be attacked by drones, and it will no longer be attacked by nations that hate it and try to conquer it. There is a day prophesied by God when everything about Jerusalem will change. And why is that important for us? Because right now something major is happening in Jerusalem, and it would be good for us to pay attention. I'm going to tell you before we get too deep that this Isaiah 62, the only place in the Bible you find the word Beulah, this Isaiah 62 chapter has had such a great impact on me years ago that I have been praying a portion of Isaiah 62 ever since. Ever since. There's a part of this that I was moved by the Holy Spirit to start adding it to my daily prayer life. And I hope tonight that this chapter has a similar or great or even greater impact on you. This is the chapter of Beulah Land's prophecy, written 700 years before Jesus. Here we go. Verse 1. Because I love Zion. Zion's another word for Jerusalem. I will not keep still because my heart yearns for Jerusalem. I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The prophet Isaiah prophesies more about the coming of Jesus than any other Old Testament prophet. And notice the heart cry of Isaiah for Beulah Land, for Zion, for Jerusalem. Why is he so passionate that I will not? Why is he so excitedly praying for Jerusalem? He says, because I love Zion. I will not keep still because my heart yearns for Jerusalem. My heart yearns for this Beulah Land. I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. You need to know something about Isaiah, something that could bring this heart cry of Jerusalem, of Beulah Land. What did Isaiah encounter that would make him write those words? I cannot stop praying for Jerusalem. I cannot stop anticipating Beulah Land. What happened? Well, let's back up from Isaiah 62. Let's back up to Isaiah 6. And perhaps this answers the question, what happened to him? Verse 1, chapter 6. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah writing. I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of the robe of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Now pause in the story. Isaiah has had an encounter with God. And what is he going to get out of that encounter? Next verse. And then I said, it's all over. I am doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among a people of filthy lips. And yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Isaiah saw the Lord, but he survived. How did he survive? The Lord touched his unclean lips and sanctified him. This and other encounters with God have brought Isaiah to the point of longing for a time when God will dwell in a sanctified Jerusalem as Messiah and as king. He longs for that day. He prophetically can see that day in the future. Remember, Isaiah lived around 700 years before Christ, some 200 years before the first fall of Jerusalem that Jesus talked about later. What, you will never see me again until. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 62, the first three verses. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations, listen up, the nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. He's talking about future Jerusalem. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand. Future Jerusalem. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see. Here it comes. A splendid crown in the hand of God, Beulah Land. And when he says a splendid crown, understand that the crown is a symbol of a king and a kingdom. A king and a kingdom are going to come to the earth. A king and a kingdom are going to come to Jerusalem. It's called Beulah Land. Isaiah saw the Lord. Now, Isaiah will never stop praying for the coming of the glorious Jerusalem he refers to as Beulah Land. And before I get into the details of Isaiah's description of future glorious Beulah Land, we know as Jerusalem, I want you to imagine two things on the earth that will make Beulah Land Beulah Land. In fact, I don't want to oversimplify, but it is two things that will change the earth and change all the people of the earth. Two things. One is Jesus will physically be standing in Jerusalem. And number two, Satan will be in prison. Two things. That's all it takes. They're not little things, they're big things. Only God can do either of those. Jesus will be here, Satan will be gone. And Beulah Land rises on the earth in Jerusalem. Do you believe this? Jesus will be reigning as King of Kings in Jerusalem. Satan will be in prison. This is what we refer to as the millennial reign of Jesus on this present earth. This is before there is a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. This is before that new heaven, new earth event. Jesus reigning from Beulah Land. Jesus reigning from Jerusalem. Jesus reigning from Zion. Her righteousness, what would it be like? Isaiah's prophecy is clear. When Jesus is reigning in Jerusalem, her righteousness will shine like the dawn. Her salvation will blaze like a burning torch. The nations will see the righteousness of Jerusalem and her king. World leaders will be blinded by the glory of Beulah Land. Jerusalem will be given a new name spoken by the Lord's own mouth, the mouth of the king. And the Lord will hold you, Jerusalem, in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hands of a king. It's called the kingdom of Christ. And what's kind of crazy is that if you were raised in church, you were praying for this kingdom to come your entire life. And just like not knowing what Beulah meant, many people didn't know what you were praying when you prayed the Lord's Prayer. And what were you praying? May your kingdom come. And may your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. You were praying for Beulah Land before you knew about Beulah Land. Do you see it? Yes, there's more. This is the verse that, this next verse, verse 4, is the verse that the King James Version uses the word Beulah, which means married. But this time, I'm going to read verse 4 from the New Living Translation. Never again will you be called the forsaken city. Something's going to happen. Or never again will you be called the desolate land. Something's going to happen. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. Do you see it? The bride of God means married. That's Beulah. That's where the Beulah appears in the other translation. The bride of God, Beulah Land, married to God. For the Lord delights in you, and he will claim you as his bride. Beulah. That's what it means. Jerusalem has had many names over the years. It was called the Forsaken City. It was called the Desolate Land. There have been nations and kingdoms try to occupy it since its beginning. In fact, when Daniel comes upon the scene, he prophesies to Nebuchadnezzar that Jerusalem will be reigned on, ruled by the Babylonians, and then it'll be the Medo-Persians, and then it'll be Greece, and then it'll be the Romans. Jerusalem has had many wars, and many people have tried to conquer Jerusalem. But those names, those past names, will be gone forever. A new name will be given. The city of God's delight and the bride of God, Beulah Land. Why? The Lord will claim the inhabitants of Jerusalem as his bride. Now, I want you to picture something. What's going to make this city Beulah Land is that he calls Beulah married, and married is when two become one. So whatever Jesus is going to do will have to do with two becoming one, married to God. The Lord will claim the inhabitants of Jerusalem as his bride. Can you see it? Can you put together this Old Testament Isaiah prophecy with the church age promises of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? The future has been revealed by Isaiah. And now let's fast forward to the book of Revelation. The future, even to John, the future is also revealed to the Apostle John in the Revelation. Chapter 19, verse 6. And then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Do you get it? There's a lot of noise in heaven. Something's happening. Praise the Lord. Why? What's going on in heaven? For the Lord our God, the Almighty, what's the next word? Reigns. May your kingdom come. He reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him. What's the point? He's reigning. There's a big noise in heaven. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice. Let us give honor to him. Why? For the time has come for the wedding. Do you see Beulah Land? For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride, the two shall become one, has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents those deeds, those good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Do you know tonight you are blessed? Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words that come from God. Beulah Land, where the bride of Christ will live in the glory of her king, the bridegroom. Millennial Jerusalem is Beulah Land. God has announced in advance that there will be a king who will come to Jerusalem and he will reign from there while Satan is locked away in prison. It's called Beulah Land. Jesus is king, Satan is in prison, and here's the part that you need to understand. And you and I will be there in that scene in resurrected eternal flesh. Totally new bodies. Can your mind comprehend it? Maybe I need to put it like this. Do you believe this? His word is clear. A kingdom is coming to Jerusalem. The bride, the church, has been made one with the bridegroom. She has put on the wedding garment, the righteousness of Christ. Beulah means married. Let's jump down to Revelation 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." The wife of the Lamb, Beulah. And then the scripture will be fulfilled. What scripture? Isaiah's announcement that future Jerusalem, Beulah Land. And Jesus prayed to the Father shortly before the cross, and he explains this idea of the wedding, of the Beulah, of the future Jerusalem, when they will be called the bride of God. They'll be married. There'll be people who are married to God. The two shall become one. It finds its origin in Genesis, and it is quoted by Jesus in the Gospels. What does it mean? So in John 17, 20, Jesus prays this prayer before he goes to the cross. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Do you see that? I'm praying for the future generations that'll read the writings of the apostles. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. This is Jesus talking to the Father. I pray that they will all be one. That's the church. Just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, and we are in Jesus. And if we are in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father, then we are in the Father. To become one. It's called Beulah. And then he says this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, so they, the church, may be one as we, the Father and Son, are one. I am in them, and you are in me. Do you see it? I am in them and you are in me. That's what happens. That's called married. And may they, the church, experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. And this next part, my mind will never comprehend it. I believe it, but I can't comprehend it. So that the world will know that you sent me and that you, God the Father, love them as much as you love me. When the church becomes married to the Son, Jesus, the Father has announced that I will love the church, the bride of Christ, the same way I love my Son. I can't comprehend it. I believe it. What mercy. What grace. And then he says, verse 24, Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me. And I'm going to insert this to make the point. I want these whom you have given me to be with me in Beulah Land. I want these you have given to me to be with me where I am. Well, where's he going to be? He's the king that's coming to Jerusalem. It's called Beulah Land. And then they can see, then, that's future Beulah Land. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. This is our Beulah Land. This is our promised land, to be made one with Christ. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 62, verse 4. Never again will you be called the forsaken city. Never again will you be called the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God, Beulah Land. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. And then God will rejoice over you. God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. We'll be married. We'll be one. The millennial reign of Jesus from Jerusalem. Jesus is king. Satan is in prison, and we are in resurrected eternal flesh. This is our Beulah Land. This is our promised land. And do you know how many generations have waited for this? How many generations have sang songs about Beulah Land? That original Beulah Land song that we sang when we first started this evening was written in 1876, 148 years ago. And they were hoping for the same thing that you and I are today. Pilgrim's Progress, that book, and Beulah Land was written in 1678, 346 years ago, and our hope hasn't changed. Beulah Land. This Jerusalem is the praise of the whole earth. Because why? Why does Jerusalem become the praise of the whole earth? Because it is here on the present earth. And a king and a kingdom has come to Jerusalem. The nations will see the glory of Beulah Land. This next verse is the one that the Lord impressed upon me so many years ago when he called me to be a watchman. I have prayed this prayer pretty much nonstop every day. Every day I pray this prayer. Lord, may I not rest or give you rest until you have made Jerusalem and its king, my King Jesus, the praise of the whole earth. Lord, may I not rest or give you rest until you have made my King, Jesus, the praise of the whole earth. Lord, may I not rest or give you rest until you have made my King, Jesus, and Jerusalem, the praise of the whole earth. Where does that come from? Isaiah 62, the story of Beulah Land. Let me read it to you. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night. Continually. And what will they pray? Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride or the praise of all the earth. I pray this prayer every day because I know what it means. Do you? Praying this prayer is to pray for Jesus to come and to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the pride, the praise of the whole earth when Jesus becomes king. Just like praying for peace in Jerusalem will only occur when Jesus comes as king. I've been also praying Psalms 122 pretty much every day since October 7th. When Hamas crossed over and massacred so many Jewish people inside of Israel. In fact, if you were here last weekend, what did we close the service with? We read aloud Psalms 122 this past Sunday after Israel was attacked by Hamas. And what is Psalms 122? Let me read verse 6 and 7. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Why? May all who love this city prosper. All Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. All of this praying and all of this hoping for Beulah Land is our time of waiting. Waiting for this. waiting for an event. Listen, and I believe, listen, I want to make a point. I believe this event is now. That we are the generation experiencing the verses I'm about to read. Verse 8 and 9, the Lord has sworn. The Lord has sworn. I guess he can only swear by his own name. He has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength. Now pause in that verse. Listen carefully. This past weekend, we prayed for peace in Jerusalem because of what had happened that Saturday before we worshiped on Sunday. And what happened? Iran sent missiles and drones and bombs to Jerusalem. But did you notice after everything was over, we didn't know last Sunday, it took until Monday or Tuesday to figure it out, that 99% of everything that Iran sent failed to hit the ground. Now you might be in the room tonight and say, wow, they've got some pretty incredible missile defense system. But I would say they have some pretty incredible God. And he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he is the God, he is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. I'll go back to verse 8. The Lord has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength, I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and your new wine. You raise the grain and you will eat it, praising the Lord. And within the courtyards of the temple, you yourselves will drink the wine you have pressed. There will be finally a peace in Jerusalem, in Beulah land. Never again will God hand them over to their enemies. Now listen very carefully. Where did the bombs come from? They came from Iran. Up until last weekend, all those bombs were coming from proxies. They were coming out of Lebanon, out of Gaza, out of Syria. But this time is different. They came from Iran. Do you understand the biblical significance of Iran? If you go back to the book of Daniel, Daniel is praying a prayer for what? A prayer for, guess what? Jerusalem. And as he's praying a prayer for Jerusalem and Jerusalem's people, God hears Daniel's prayer and dispatches an angel to deliver an answer to Daniel's prayer to Daniel. But something happened. The angel carrying the message of God to Daniel was detained and restrained for 21 days. By whom and how? By the spirit prince of Persia. What? There is a spirit power in Persia. And what is Persia? Iran. And that spirit power in Persia kept the angel, God's messenger, from delivering the message to Daniel for 21 days. What kind of power is out there that could restrain and contain the messenger of God? But he did. And he said, in fact, this angel said, and I couldn't have come even now until Michael, the archangel, came and helped me against the spirit prince of Persia so that I might deliver the message of God's answer to your prayer about Jerusalem. And here we are today. And the spirit prince of Persia is active. And understand something, spirits don't die. They don't die. They're spirits. Can you see it? God says, never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine. How will that happen? You will eat the produce of your own fields without fear. For God is with you. And there will be a temple in this Beulah land. Listen carefully, church. There will be a temple in this Jerusalem. Isaiah said, within the courtyards of the temple, you yourselves will drink the wine you have pressed. So here's a question. What do we, the bride of Christ, do in our time of waiting for Beulah Land? What do we do? Okay, you've got my attention, preacher. It's kind of hard to argue with some of this prophetic truth. So what do we do in our time of waiting? I'm going to read to you the closing of Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 12. Go out through the gates. Prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road. Pull out the boulders. Raise a flag for all the nations to see. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. They will be called the holy people and the people redeemed by the Lord. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place and the city no longer forsaken. That scripture always, every time I read that scripture in Isaiah, it always reminds me of Isaiah's prophecy about the coming of John the Baptist, which would happen some 700 years later, that would come in the spirit of Elijah. And why did John the Baptist come with a six-month head start for Jesus? Why did he come? He came to make a way for the Messiah, to announce he's coming. Clear the path, clear the way, move this stuff. Anything in between you and God, get it out of the way. He's coming. And that was the mission of John the Baptist, to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 62 comes with a message. Prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. In Matthew 3, verse 1, this is John the Baptist, prophesied by Isaiah 700 years later. Here's what it says. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was what? Repent of your sins and turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness. What's he shouting? Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. That's the same prophecy of Isaiah. And here we are today. And I'm going to ask the church this question. Each one of you, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you looking and praying for Beulah Land? Let me rephrase the question. Maybe this is a better way to put it. Do you believe this stuff? Do you actually believe this stuff? Can you see the signs? Because most of the world cannot or does not see the signs. And when I talk about Iran, the spirit prince of Persia attacking Jerusalem, it just goes right over their heads, say, whatever. Do you see it? Do you see what's coming? So here's my closing tonight. Beulah Land is when the bridegroom takes his bride. Listen carefully to the wording of that sentence. Beulah Land is when the bridegroom, Jesus, takes his bride. Did Jesus talk about this event? Yes, he did in great detail. And I'm going to close tonight by reading it to you. Beulah Land is when the bridegroom takes his bride. Beulah means married, to become one. Matthew 25, verse 1. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, what are we talking about? Beulah Land, the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and they went out to meet who? The bridegroom. This is the Beulah Land story. They, 10 of them, took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra olive oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they all fell asleep. And at midnight, this is the last call. At midnight, people call it over the years the midnight call. At midnight, they were roused by a shout. What's the shout? Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. Beulah means married. It's time for the wedding. The bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. It's time. And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. And then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are running out. They're going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. And then those who were ready, and the two shall become one. Those who were married, those who were ready, went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Jesus takes his bride. It's beautiful, then. Jesus takes his bride. And then, listen, nobody wants to hear this, and he locks the door. Later on, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. I was never married to you. We were not one. You were married to the world. You were married to yourself. You were married to your stuff, your job. What? You were married to everything but me. You weren't married to me, because if you were married to me, I would know who you are. And I tell you, the door's locked because I don't know you. And the bridegroom came for the bride. He knows the bride. Last verse, verse 13. Why don't we read it out loud together? Won't you read it with me? So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. Are you looking for Beulah Lynn? Be honest. Never crossed my mind. Beulah means married. Those who have become one with Christ, with the bridegroom, will enter when the door is opened into Beulah Lynn. Those who have, you won't be able to get married quickly at the shout. Those who are ready, watching and waiting, will enter when the door is open. So I'll ask you tonight, do you have oil in your lamps? There were five foolish and five wise. Do you have oil in your lamps? The oil represents the Holy Spirit living in you. Five went in when the bridegroom appeared and the door was open, and five were left behind on the outside. And where was Jesus when he told that story? Jerusalem. You can't make this up. I'll ask Chad to come out with the invitation. And here's my final point about the relevance of the day we live in right now. That original Beulah Land song was written in 148 years ago. There was no Israel 148 years ago. So you're in the room and you say, you know, preachers have been talking about this stuff for 2,000 years. That's true. What's different about today? What's different about Beulah Land than today? When they wrote that original Beulah Land song 148 years ago, there was no Israel. There was nobody to even imagine there'd ever be an Israel. But there is an Israel today. And there's more. That second Beulah Land song, was written in 1973, 6 years after 1967. And you know what happened in 1967? Not only was Israel reformed as a nation after 2,000 years of being scattered around the earth, but in 1967, they took Jerusalem back. So now there's an Israel, and now there's an Israel who has Jerusalem. And now, for the first time, Jesus' prophecy, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. You will not see me again until in Jerusalem you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So if you're in the room or you're watching online and you think, wow, people have been talking about this stuff for a long time, but something's different right now. The Prince of Persia is now active against Jerusalem, fulfilling Daniel's prophecies. There's an Israel. There's a Jerusalem. One day the king will come and he will take his bride. Are you ready? He's going to take his bride. Those who have become one with him, he will come and take his bride. So we're going to sing a song. Actually, we're going to sing that second song called Beulah Land. And I pray that tonight you're ready, that you've got oil in your lamps, and that you're ready. So when this king comes to get his bride, you will say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's stand together.